The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 23rd through Sunday, June 29th, 2025. The commentary for June was written by Sarah Shipman, an Episcopal priest, attorney, and director of Episcopal Migration Ministries. Now, she lives with her husband, two kids, two dogs, and a cat in Kansas, and she collects hobbies and loves to read. The commentary for Monday, June 23rd, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple, and tell the people the whole message about this life." Here's the commentary. In 2022, the 80th General Convention of the Episcopal Church resolved to prioritize attention toward LGBTQ plus people who had fled their countries in search of safety, including refugees, asylum seekers, undocumented people, and others. In response, Episcopal Migration Ministries established the Rainbow Initiative, connecting congregations and communities across the church to provide education, liturgical resources, and support to direct service providers and those who want to become involved in the ministry of welcome, offering aid and solidarity. The Rainbow Initiative provides opportunities to learn about and pray for those individuals who have been forced to flee their homelands for safety from dozens of countries, including the 70 or so that deem it illegal to be LGBTQ+. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 12 through 26. "Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, 'Go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life.' When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, 'We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people." The moving forward question for this Monday, June 23rd, is Episcopal Migration Ministries offers resources for Pride services and parades, including liturgies, flyers, posters, and webinars. If you'd like more information, you can go to EpiscopalMigrationMinistries.org/Rainbow Initiative and prayerfully consider participating in this life-saving ministry. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, June 24th, the day on which we commemorate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It begins with a passage from Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Jesus is often compared to a shepherd caring for his flock. The metaphor connotes both strong leadership and tender care. While I have never witnessed a shepherd caring for a flock, we are fortunate to have adopted a miniature Australian shepherd. Now, this breed is often a family pet these days, but it was originally a working dog, and the herding instinct remains strong. Our dog, Honey, exhibits the traditional characteristics. She wants all her people together in one place near her. She is wary of those she does not know well, keeping a watchful eye on us and them. She lets people know when they are too close to her flock with a sharp, short bark. Honey sleeps best when she knows her people are safe. These instincts come from generations of her ancestors, serving as shepherds of a sort, actively caring for the flock. The love shown by our shepherding dog is nothing compared to the love of Jesus for his flock. But in Honey's eyes, I get a glimmer of what the love of Jesus must be. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, where do you see glimpses of the love of Jesus? The commentary for Wednesday, June 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 23. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. The institution of the Lord's Supper is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. It is comforting to read and remember that Jesus fed Judas, even though he knew of the betrayal that was to come. But I am troubled by the discussion the disciples have after Jesus tells of the impending betrayal. They ask one another who could possibly act in such a way against Jesus. The real answer is that it could have been any one of them. We are not given the reason for Judas's betrayal, which makes understanding his true purpose impossible. But this also raises the question of whether I would, like Judas, betray Jesus. I like to think not, but then I remember the unkind words I said to a coworker, or the times when I failed to provide for someone less fortunate. Every time I act in a way that is counter to what would Jesus do, I fail him. And then I remember the new covenant and am fed again and again as I return to the table and ask forgiveness and try each day to do better than the day before. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Luke 22, verses 14 through 23. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday: when have you betrayed Jesus? The commentary for Thursday, June 26th, begins with a passage from Psalm 105, verse 2. "Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his marvelous works." I have been blessed to attend and serve at various youth events in my diocese, and all are filled with song. We sing when we arrive as a way to break the ice. We sing when we wake, and we sing prayers at mealtimes and during worship services. And we sing when we send everyone off to return home again. Youth offer themselves as they lead the singing and play instruments. From the youngest first-time camper to the college-age counselor, the youth enthusiastically embody joy in raising their voices and dancing. On the slower pieces, they join together, rhythmically swaying, offering comfort and support, as they say farewell until next time. Now, as I serve in youth ministry, I add my voice to theirs, teaching them the words and movements, and joining in the community of praise. My voice may not be trained, and the movements are often silly, but I never go wrong with youth when I fully commit to the song, and together we sing of God's marvelous works. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 22. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." When they were few in number, of little account, and strangers in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm." When he summoned famine against the land and broke every staff of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord kept testing him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him the lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to instruct his officials at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday is to sing your favorite hymn or camp song. The commentary for Friday, June 27th, begins with a passage from Psalm 102, verse 25. "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." On vacation in Branson, Missouri, we toured Marvel Cave, directly under Silver Dollar City, a theme park built to accommodate cave explorers. During the descent, the air cools and the underground streams dampen the limestone rock. Bats and salamanders find their homes deep underground. On the way down, visitors stop in the cathedral room, which once hosted 5 hot air balloons. The final stop is the waterfall room, which is 500 feet below the surface. Those of us on the tour were filled with wonder and astonishment as we viewed the underground waterfall flowing from the lost stream. The Mystic River also flows in the cave, and the end of the river has not yet been found. Although this cave has had many names over the years, Marvel seems to fit. With care, these wonders remind us of the magnificent handiwork of God. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for this day, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 31 through 38. "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied 3 times that you know me." He said to them, "When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "No, not a thing." He said to them, "But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was counted among the lawless, and indeed was written about me, is being fulfilled. They said, "Lord, look, here are 2 swords. He replied, "It is enough." And the moving forward question for this Friday, what places in nature remind you of God's marvelous works? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, June 28th, the day on which we commemorate Irenaeus of Lyon. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 45. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. I understand the disciples here. They have heard Jesus say, "He will be betrayed by one of them, and that another will deny him." Jesus has spoken of the suffering he is to endure. They hear the anguish in his voice as he asks God to release him from this pain, to remove the cup from him. In their despair, they sleep. Have you ever experienced a grief so profound that all you could do was sleep? Sometimes when sadness or anxiety feels overwhelming, sleep can seem to offer the only relief. But Jesus reminds the disciples and us that there is another thing that can be done, prayer. By Jesus' example, we see prayer deepen his relationship with God and provide a source of comfort and strength. In moments when I have been so weighed down by despair that I can think of nothing to do but curl up and sleep, I remember Jesus waking the disciples and telling them to pray. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel for this day from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 51. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched his ear and healed him. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, can you relate to the disciples in this scene? The next time you're overcome by grief, think of the words of Jesus in this passage. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this particular program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, June 29th. It is the third Sunday of Pentecost, and it begins with a passage from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 14. "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The Episcopal Church has long advocated for alternatives to detention for migrants, acknowledging that the current system of immigration detention in the United States can be punitive and unjust. The Episcopal Church urges the government to provide true community-based and community-supported alternatives to detention. The Episcopal Church decries family detention and especially the separation of children from their parents. This advocacy is rooted in the words from Galatians. As we seek to care for our neighbors, organizations like the Episcopal Migration Response Network focus on sharing best practices for direct services, organizing, Christian formation, worship resources, and community education. The goal is to live into this single commandment, promoting humane and dignified alternatives to detention and supporting those moving through the complex immigration system in the United States. And now I'm going to read from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1, and verses 13 through 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before: those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And the moving forward question for this Sunday: how do these words from Galatians inform your understanding of immigration issues? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me again for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.